Welcome to our third deep dive into the New Testament letter of 1 Peter. And before we get into it, let me remind you that next Sunday, we're going to take communion together virtually. So please, when you watch this, get some juice and some bread. Any juice and any bread will do. But take it seriously. Open your heart to the work of God's Spirit as we celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf through the Lord's Supper next Sunday. Now, as for the letter of 1 Peter, it's written by the most outspoken, adventuresome, redeemed and restored apostle, the undisputed leader of the early church. Right from the get-go, he wants us to see that Jesus gives us a living hope. When we're going through tough times, anybody? We get our eyes on Jesus and hope rises. When we are facing difficulty or discouragement, we learn how to live holy and love deeply, and hope rises. When we realize that we really are, as Peter writes, chosen, royal, holy people, hope rises. Because Peter never got over Jesus. Never. He was transformed by the fact that the resurrected Jesus came back for him, loved him, restored him to a place of leadership. And from then on, every time he could, in every place he could, in every way he could, Peter preached the gospel, told the Jesus story. He had a flame of passionate love for Christ that lasted till his dying day. And when that day came, according to church tradition, Peter chose to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be executed in the same fashion as his master. So now it's 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Christians are being persecuted, killed, destroyed by the efforts of the Roman Empire to stamp out Christianity. And Peter feels he has to write a letter of encouragement and hope. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he writes. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's his word. We can trust in Christ. We can have a living hope. And in our text for the day, in chapter 2, beginning with verse 13, is this relevant or what? Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Oh, wow. Talk about a text for today. Ripped from the headlines, right? Led by the Holy Spirit, Peter gives us this timeless teaching for Christians everywhere who are living under the authority of leaders with whom they disagree and who sometimes make them angry and frustrated. He gives us guidance on how to handle it and what to do. So here we are, right? In Western New York, at least those of us who are part of Pierce Nation, during the last weekend of May 2020, and people are disagreeing. We have some who disagree with the governor of our state, who wants us to open slowly and who has categorized churches as part of phase 4, limiting currently our ability to meet with any more than 10 people. Some people say that's way too slow. Some disagree with the president of our nation for overriding the governor's directives, giving the green light for churches to resume face-to-face worship. They think that's too fast. On top of that, you can add another layer of those in authority, and that would be denominational and conference leaders for us in the Free Methodist Church, because they're asking us to go slow and Currently, the guidance is not to hold public worship until sometime after Labor Day. Maybe that's too cautious. And to all of that, Peter says, show proper respect to everyone. Everyone? Not just the ones we agree with? Love your fellow believers. All of them? Even those who have different convictions and opinions than we do? Fear God. Honor the emperor. Wow. We got to dig into that, right? So what does it say? Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Every authority, right or wrong. Something about the way we show respect to those in authority is actually a reflection on who we are and what we believe. We don't have to agree. It's our right not to, but in Christ, we can't go on a hateful rant. Whether it's at President Trump or at Governor Cuomo or at any other leader who's in authority over us right now. But we're right in the middle of all this, right? The point is, in Peter's passage and in writing this letter, it's not about the authority. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about us. It's about Christ followers. It's about how we react and how we respond. This text is not about which authority we agree with. This is about how we handle a difficult situation. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Our godly character, according to this text, silences ignorant critics. Those who have got it out for the church, who just can't stand the talk of Jesus and don't want to be around his people. So they blame it all on us, right? Those evangelicals are the problem. They're so hateful and judgmental. They're so hypocritical and mean-spirited. Sadly, sometimes they've had a point, but that's not who we are. That's not the truth about us. Peter says we are to be Jesus people who obey the law of the land, who are exemplary citizens, who are part of the solution and not part of the problem. And that by being outstanding, upright, respectful, God-fearing Christ followers, it validates our witness to a watching world. The things they say about us cannot be proven true. Now, most of us have been around people that didn't help our witness. You know, the guy with the Jesus bumper sticker who drives like a maniac. Or the person who wears a Jesus t-shirt in public but says and does things that don't remind me of Jesus. And I don't know, but as a Christian, I want to say, get rid of that bumper sticker, buddy. You know, burn the t-shirt. Like, if you're going to put that name on, you better act like that person. You better not talk dirt about the president. You better not berate and attack the character of the governor. You better not speak evil of your superintendent or bishops. Just stop. Ask God by the power of his Holy Spirit to work in you in such a way that you can rise above your differences. I know it's a free country, and I know we have free speech, but there's a difference between free speech and hate speech. Peter says, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Respect God. Serve God. Speak in ways and act in ways that reflect your love for him and his love for you. You know, the truth is that we are far too divided over issues like this. You know, if you voted for this president or the last president, or neither, or both, you matter to God and you matter to us. So there are limits to the way we deal with authority, but they are not the limits of, you know, our personal opinion. Peter himself demonstrates a limit to cooperating with authority in Acts chapter 5. after Peter's been jailed by the Jewish leaders and broken out of jail by an angel, he goes back to preaching, which gets him hauled back into court, where he is once more commanded, don't preach in Jesus' name. Peter's hit his limit. We must obey God rather than human beings. You can haul us into court. You can slap us in jail. But you can't stop us from talking about Jesus. We love him too much because he loves us so much. Well, that's us, friends. That's our limit, too. We are doing everything we can in every way we can, every time we can, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus. In fact, we're doing it right now. And the fact that we can't do it in this building right now, we'll live. We'll figure this out. We'll get through this together. We don't have to like how it feels or how it goes. We don't even have to agree with it all. There is no teaching in this passage that advises us to obey those in authority because, well, they're such great people and they always get it right. No. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Submit for Jesus' sake. Live out God's will for your life. Choose to be easy to get along with and to obey and cooperate as much as is possible. So let's go back to the text, because there's another whole section here. Live as God's slaves. In reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they're conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for good and you endure it, this is commendable before the Lord. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. There it is again. You know, we're free. We're free to do anything, and nobody can stop us. We're free to disobey any authority that we choose. We're free to say anything that we want. We're free to hurt other people if we choose. But we're not free to do those things and follow Jesus. No, Peter goes there. In the face of our objections and complaints and, you know, when we sort of get our back up and say, I don't have to do that, Peter plays the Jesus card. They hurled their insults at Jesus, and he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Just when we were ready to push back, just when we had a clever reply, all prepared to talk about those bad people who don't love us and don't like us, Peter says, look to Jesus. None of us have had to put up with what Jesus put up with. Jesus is our sinless sacrifice. He bore our sins. He is our suffering Savior. By his wounds you've been healed. Every aspect of healing in my life and yours was purchased by the wound of Jesus. You were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to your shepherd and overseer. It's not like we had it figured out. Not like we were going the right way and doing just fine. We were messed up. We were lost. We needed help. And Jesus came for us and gave his life for us and has sent his Holy Spirit for us. And now he lives in us, and now he guides us. So how can we just do whatever we want, or say whatever we want, or react however we feel like? We can't. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We belong to Jesus now. So when life isn't fair, when I disagree with those in authority over me and have to submit anyway, when the world just feels messed up and I don't like it, I look to Jesus. I follow Jesus. I lean on Jesus. Even when our church building is shut down for a while and I don't like it, it won't be that long until we'll be able to meet again. And friends, we are praying and planning through all kinds of possibilities. Now, we're considering outdoor services, and personally, I love to worship on the lawn with social distancing in place. Eventually, we'll have some kind of limited indoor services with masks and sanitizer and, you know, the whole nine yards. And someday, we'll be able to worship again, singing all our favorite songs and praying our prayers and reading our favorite scriptures and probably even sitting in our favorite pew. But guess what? Church going was never meant to be an end in itself, was it? The whole point in going to church is to be changed, not to be comfortable. Wouldn't it be tragic if we opened up our church buildings just to do the same old, same old? We did our, you know, religious routine, checked the box, I went to church, and I didn't change. I gripe and complain like everyone else. I talk dirt about my political adversaries like everyone else. No. No, let's decide right here, right now, that when we get together again to worship together, every time we will come out of that church service, we will come out transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, full of living hope, acting and sounding and reacting more like Jesus than ever before. That's why people go to church, right? When we leave the presence of the living God, we should be better parents, more cooperative children, more dedicated servants and teachers and leaders. And our workplace should be that much better because we're there, because Jesus is there in us. Wouldn't it be great if our critics would look at us and say, now I know why they go to church. When they came out of there, they really treat each other with love, even when they disagree. When they came out of there, they were amazing with their kids. When they came out of there and went to work the next day, they were fantastic employees. Look at how they handle tension and disagreement, even among themselves. They remind me of someone. So, friends, by the grace of Jesus, our sinless sacrifice, following the example of our suffering Savior, under the authority of our shepherd and overseer, let's live like Jesus, love like Jesus, talk like Jesus, serve like Jesus, be like Jesus, even in this awkward moment, especially in this awkward moment. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are with us right now, and I thank you for your word that is incredibly relevant to the moment we find ourselves in. Would you apply this word to our heart? Help us to walk through this season when we are tempted to fuss and fight with an extra measure of love and grace. May every conversation look and act and sound like Jesus. And it may be hard, Lord, but you can help us. We have not had to endure what you endured. And by the way, like Peter, we are overwhelmed by your goodness and grace, and we never want to get over you. And we never want to just do church by numbers. So, Lord, May every act of worship, whether it's online or outside or in this building, be true worship, transformative worship, that makes us more like you. And Lord, I just want to take a moment and pray for this country, for America, as we struggle with the evils of racial hatred and brutality against our black and brown skinned brothers and sisters. Lord, give us the grace and courage of our convictions. Help us to speak out and speak up against racial injustice whenever we see it. And may we be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Lord Jesus, we stand with you against racial hatred of every kind and violence in any time, in any place, against people you have created. And we pray this in your name. And Lord, if there's anyone watching today, and when we talk about resolving conflict in a Christ-like way, they're in the middle of it, at home or at work or with their friends, and Lord, we need help. We need you. Would you be our leader and forgiver even right now? If there's anyone who's never given their heart and life to you, may they simply pray, Lord Jesus, I need you. I open my heart and life to you right now. Come in and forgive my sins and live in and through me. Change me from the inside out. And Lord, I believe you hear and answer that prayer. And for all of us who have prayed it, help us to live it. In Jesus' name, amen.